Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
On Wednesday, April 14th, the Oregon Community Rights Network and the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund are hosting a webinar entitled Protecting Mother Earth: The History, Legacy, and Possibilities as Experienced by Native Americans. I spoke with one of the panelists, Joseph Scott. Scott is a traditional dancer, singer, and artisan, as well as a recognized language and culture bearer of the Tsleil-Waututh tribe.
Upland Tecoma people of the Rogue River Valley. My ancestors are the Tecoma people of the Rogue River Valley, and I am the son of Lorna Avery Scott and the great-great grandson of Melissa Lotta Montgomery.
So I understand that you are a part of a panel on April 14th that's hosted by the Oregon Community Rights Network and the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, and it's called Protecting Mother Earth: The History, Legacy, and Possibilities as Experienced by Native Americans. Talk to me a little bit about that. What are you hoping to address in that session with the other panelists?
It's been fantastic so far. It's been a very organic discussion about the tribal role in encouraging the connection that supporting and promoting the connection tribal people experience with the natural world. And the friends of mine who are my new friends who are also on the panel are from further up north and east of where I am here in the Willamette Valley. And it's been fantastic to get a perspective from other tribal people from other places, because that's really very much what it's about. And that is what has emerged in our sort of free-flowing discussion, is that, you know, we're very closely tied to our place, not just tied, but we are our place. Something that I've always communicated with people to the best of my ability is that, you know, we're built quite literally of the bones and genetics of our ancestors. So the environment is us, and we are it. And we live in a world where very often people will try to address the environment as sort of as other, which makes sense to them, but not really to a lot of tribal people. And that's what hopefully the discussion will be about. Like I said, it's a discussion, it's a conversation, so it should be excellent.
Very cool. So if it's all right with you, we can maybe talk through some of the history that has brought us to this present moment. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Right. So environmental injustice and degradation in the United States specifically can be dated back to the first colonists who came here. Are there aspects of that historical link that are not commonly understood from your perspective?
I really very much am limited to an extent to speaking about Western Oregon. As a Tsleil-Waututh tribal member, I don't speak for the tribe. I speak for myself and my experience. You're talking about environmental degradation. Well, I very much believe that that perspective. Our land, as I said, is us, and these things have been taken from us, down to our personhood in a lot of cases. Tsleil-Waututh is a terminated tribe and restored. So the government quite literally settled in and decided that the best way to address what has been called historically the Indian problem was to first exterminate the Indians and then legislate them out of existence. And I'm not really sure why I'm using the term them, because it's us. And, you know, that has led to catastrophic consequences in tribal communities when your sense of identity, your spirit is taken from you. You've lost everything, and so the act of repatriating self is where we are right now. It's the point that we've been brought to, and that's very much what the conversation, the discussion, the panel discussion will be about, is restoring that.
Yeah, I'm curious about, so right, there's this, you know, 400 or so year long history of how the environment has been treated since white people came to the Americas, right? And then there comes the climate movement, which is, you know, more recent. The popular depiction, I guess, often has this white face. I mean, most recently, that's Greta Thunberg. Do you have thoughts about, like, what is missing from that movement?
Well, I'm always, I think, going to return to my perspective, our perspective, that all too frequently what I encounter, and again, I can really only speak to my own experiences as a tribal person working in what seems to be a white male-led culture, is the idea that the environment is being approached as other, and that, you know, that involves, I addressed questions over the last couple of days about things like cleaning up rivers and picking up garbage, which are, you know, these are, of course, are very valid aspects and angles on environmental restoration. You know, I don't want to trivialize in any way people's efforts and the passion that people feel for making change and seeking understanding. Part of that understanding is the piece that I see as missing. And when I work with watershed councils, when I work with environmental groups, and they really want and they invite a tribal perspective, there is a certain amount of re-education, a certain amount of you know, checking your underlying assumptions about what that looks like. You know, is it tagging fish and tracking them in the ocean, or is it understanding that we are quite literally related? Our stories tell of our relationship with salmon and the world around us, and, you know, how we are all from the same things. We're all created of the same thing. So that's the perspective, I think, that the one that I see missing.
And so, I mean, to that end, what would, like, the achievement of environmental justice, what would that mean for Native communities from your perspective?
The full inclusion and appreciation of the tribal voice. It's very often that I'll encounter this conversation that has a lifespan of, you know, a day. someone might think about it while the discussion is going on. What we're, I think, looking for is meaningful and lasting impact, and that the voice that resonates and carries and guides to a certain extent and cooperates and proceeds is the best I can come up with.
So, you know, as a teacher and an advocate for, you know, this repatriation of the environment, as you've mentioned, do you encounter misconceptions that people have about what that means? I know you talked about, you know, the environment as the other. Are there other ones that come up?
It's really, so I'm a tribal language carrier. I speak the Dani language, and I find myself having a very difficult time, you know, it's like ka mas do wa. We are with bad things sometimes, and you know, educating and missing piece is very often the history of tribal people and the fact that we exist, that we're, our presence is very much real. We're not a artifact in a museum. Our tribal cultures are vibrant, and among the rest of the dominant culture. So a common misconception is that Indian people are a artifact of the past. It's as simply as I can put it. And overcoming that is usually fairly easy. It's just a matter of saying, well, that's really not, you know, that's not quite right. The discussion then moves into, you know, if we do exist, then we need to move into that discussion about our existence as environment, as place.
Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up?
I always like to sort of ground any discussion about environmental justice, about environment and self as one, with just a brief discussion of the history of tribal people in Western Oregon. And again, that's what I speak to. And our history in Western Oregon is one of catastrophic cultural near erasure from government policies that just simply took our land illegally to government policies that supported actively through bounties the murder of men, women, and children, literally for fun and profit. And, you know, understanding that that's a trauma that we share, and that, you know, part of our collective healing is recognizing and getting other people to recognize that there's historic trauma. And we carry it in our genes. It's part of us. It's in our blood. You know, our ancestors were literally treated like animals, and we have that. We remember it. I should also mention that, again, we are establishing ourselves, and we still have a very vibrant culture, and we're resilient, and we've survived.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I look forward to this panel.
Oh, it'll be great.
That was my conversation with Joseph Scott, a Siletz tribal member and one of the panelists on Wednesday's webinar, Protecting Mother Earth, the History, Legacy, and Possibilities as Experienced by Native Americans. That's being hosted by the Oregon Community Rights Network and the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, April 14th. Attendees must RSVP to receive the link by emailing info@orcrn.org. Links related to this story can be found on our website at kboo.fm. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.